The passage today is taken from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and starting to read verse 25. That's Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Thank you, Colin. And I'm going to hand straight over now to our brother Peter, looking forward very much to hearing the word of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's great to be with you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone who's taken part already. It's great to see all your faces. Praise God, we're one body in Christ. And I just praise the Lord for that. I just want to pray before I share what the Lord's given me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word this morning. Please make it a living word, living bread, a nourishment for all our souls, Lord, as we wait on you. Thank you, Lord, you give to each one of us something from yourself today, and we bless you for that. So we come to you now, Lord, and pray that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Well, I'd like to share this morning on the subject of faith. And faith is a huge subject. So I'm only going to take one little phrase. And that's in verse 30, where the Lord has said, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the bread maker, that's the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So I want to concentrate on O you of little faith, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words in English. It's actually just one word in Greek. And it's basically, in Greek, it sounds like a pet name for Jesus's followers. And it means mini faiths. Okay. You mini faiths, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, or where you're going to live. Because God says in verse 33, through Jesus, his son, if we seek the kingdom of God first and put God first in our lives and being right with God first in our lives, he'll take care of the rest. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God will take care of the rest. Bless his wonderful name. All we have to do is get right with God. And that's as simple as putting your trust in Jesus and saying, Jesus, Lord, what was that word? Repentance. I'm a sinner. I need you. I'm all wrong inside. Please come and make me right with yourself. Please forgive my sins and come into my life. And if we do that in all sincerity, hand our lives over to Jesus, he will come and make us right with God, right with himself, and the peace of God will flood our lives and fill us to overflowing. God himself will come and do that for every one of us, man, woman, whatever, wherever we live on the face of the earth. It doesn't matter. Every single person who comes to Jesus like that, God will receive. He welcomes us. We run into the welcoming arms of His Majesty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Creator and Sustainer of heaven and earth. Glory to His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's wonderful. This is what God promises. You little faiths. Okay, we are little faiths. So we've got to learn from Jesus. Now, what does Jesus tell us to do? This is because Jesus lived the life of faith when He was on earth. He didn't have two apronies to rub together, but He never begged His bread from anybody. He trusted His Father in heaven. And He's asking us to do the same. Because what He asks us to do is for the life of Jesus within us. It's not something that we have to struggle to and strain and strive to live up to. It's to let Jesus live in us and trust God in us, in our mortal flesh and blood. Anyway, so what did He say? Well, first He said, look at the birds. Now, this word look is a very interesting one. It's not just a glance. Oh, look at that bird over there. Isn't that a pretty one? It's not that kind of look. It's have a steady gaze. Concentrate. Look carefully at what's going on. Now, what is going on with the birds? Well, there's lots of interesting things going on with birds. And kind of in these days, I'm really getting into birds a lot more than I used to. But basically, I mean, you have a bird like the Arctic tern. The Arctic tern is a smallish bird. We have terns flying over our house every day. They're beautiful little birds, little seagulls with very sharp wings. Now, the Arctic tern has quite a journey. It does a 56,000-mile round trip every year. Think of that. Now, why did God make a little bird that could do 56,000 miles a year? And in its lifetime, go fly for millions of miles? That's a good question, isn't it? If we look in Psalm 145, we find some wonderful words about God's care for His creation. Psalm 145, and we're in verse 14. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to You, and You give them their food in due season. So the eyes of all creation are looking expectantly to God today, this day, for their daily bread, for their daily food. And they don't depend on our bird feeders. Hmm. You open Your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. That's amazing. God has made billions of creatures on this earth, and every single day He satisfies their desire. And God in Jesus says to you and me, look at the birds. They're not worried and stressed about laying up treasure for tomorrow. Obviously, as people, we have to do some things to prepare for the future. That's natural and right. But we don't have to get stressed about it. We don't have to get worried. We don't have to get ourselves all wound up worrying about tomorrow. Jesus wants us to be free of worry, free of care, in the sense that our lives are full of His peace and without strain and without the stress that care brings. And Jesus in you and me can help us live like that. So look at the birds, take a good steady look. And then He says, consider the flowers, consider, what's this word? Well, it means grasp something conclusively by studying the subject carefully. All right, there's a lot in that word. Grasp something conclusively by studying the matter carefully. So have a look at the flowers that are no longer blooming in your gardens, but think about how God designed them. Okay, I don't know how God designed flowers, but they're beautiful to look at, and myriads of colors and everything else. And obviously in the land where Jesus lived, they were scattered across the fields, meadows of beautiful flowers, as we have over here. And people just cut the grass and dried it with the flowers, and then that became the fuel for starting the bread oven every day. So Jesus, what's Jesus saying? Your daily bread is guaranteed. He who dwells with the Lord. His defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him. His waters shall be sure. I think that's in Isaiah. So if all, every creature on earth is looking to God, then you and I can do the same and trust him to supply our needs, whatever it might be. Now, when I was a young trainee missionary, I had an experience of this. So, you know, God teaches you things, doesn't he? And anyway, I'll just share it with you because it really made an impression on me that I've never forgotten. I was at a missionary society training headquarters, and I had a small debt from a course I'd done in linguistics in the summer, £27.50, which in those days was quite a lot of money, actually. And anyway, I was praying with a friend. We were on our knees having a conversation kind of with each other before the Lord. And I said to this friend, he had no money, so I could say it to him. So I said, I've got no money and I've got this debt. What should I do? Now, the only thing I thought I possessed in the world was an old leather jacket. And I said, should I sell my jacket and, you know, pay it that way? Now, nobody in the world would have wanted to buy my leather jacket. But anyway, I had that conversation. And anyway, my friend encouraged me. We prayed and committed the matter to God. The very next day, I received a thick envelope in the post. And to get a thick envelope, that was exciting. And I opened the envelope and I thought, maybe God sent me the money to pay off my debt. And I opened the envelope and inside were some clothing vouchers from a man in Scotland who was a friend and had a shop. And he wrote to me and he said, I don't need these clothing vouchers. They were for Burton's, the tailors. I want you to have them. And they amounted to £27.50. God was having a really good laugh at that moment, I think. Anyway, I had a letter from from Wycliffe a few days later saying, we've had some gifts and we've written off your debt. So anyway, God can take care of our clothing. Little faiths. All right, let's go to the next little faith. Chapter 8, come with me on a journey of faith with Jesus, because that's what he's doing with you and me in our lives today. Whatever we're passing through today, we're on a journey of faith with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Isn't it great to be in Jesus's hands? Hallelujah. We're not on the devil's roundabout anymore. Mm-hmm. We're Jesus's people and we're living for him. Hallelujah. So anyway, he took the disciples. Okay. The first one was for everyone. Little faith, talking to everyone, the multitudes, because it's for the life put in us. Now, the next one is for close followers. Oswald Chambers, of course, says, discipleship is always preceded with an if. If any man will come after me, if any man will follow me, da-da-da. And here we are, we have this bunch of 12 men following Jesus closely. And in chapter 8, and we'll come to Jesus says to his men, come and he got into a boat. So the disciples followed him. Didn't actually say he told them to go with him. But anyway, he got in the boat, so they followed him. And they're all fishermen. They knew what they were doing. They knew what Sea of Galilee was all about. And then suddenly this great storm comes up. And there was water coming in the boat. And of course, you think as good, you know, fishermen, they would not know what to do in such circumstances. But instead, they turned into blind panic. And they came and they woke their Lord up. He was asleep. I mean, he had a really long day ministering to people. And he was tired. He was a man. He had flesh and blood, just like you and me. And he was really tired and asleep. And they said to him, Lord, Lord, wake up. What are you doing sleeping while we're drowning? Anyway, something like that. They actually said, Mark records the words, Lord, don't you care that we're drowning? What a stupid question. What do you think about it? You know, the Lord was there, the one who is in control of everything. Creator and sustainer of the universe. Well, they didn't know him as that. But anyway, he is. And they woke him up and say, Lord, Lord, don't you care? And Are we sometimes like that? Do we sometimes say to the Lord, Lord, don't you know what I'm going through? Don't you know about this thing in my life that's really causing me trouble, really causing me distress, really causing me pain? And the Lord says, yes, I know. And I care. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. The Lord doesn't allow us to go through anything unnecessarily. And when he allows us to go through something, he's walking with it, with us in it. Praise his wonderful name. So he says to them, why are you fearful, you little face? You mini face, what are you afraid of? The Lord of glory was asleep. They should have rested with him and trusted God, as he was trusting God even in the height of the storm. Jesus trusted God. And in that trusting, that was a foreshadowing of the storm of Calvary, where he trusted God to take him through for you and me, that we might be redeemed from all sin and slavery to Satan, and be set free to become children of the living God. Praise his wonderful name. So, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Little face, mini face. We've got to have our faith enlarged, stretched, brought into a realm of living where we can know that God is in control of everything. Because when they woke the Lord like that, their blind panic. Panic basically stems from unbelief, an unbelief that God is in control. So God says, I am in control. I made heaven and earth. And the sun has risen today because God has caused it to rise. And he is in control of our lives, of your life and mine. So let's trust him in those situations where the storm arises, as it is now, that he knows what he's doing and we can trust him for the outcomes.
Mm.
That was for his group of followers. The next one is for a personal following. Matthew chapter 14. And here we have the famous story of the Lord walking on the sea after a great miracle. And the Lord brings a certain disciple called Peter into a situation and gives him an opportunity to prove his mettle. You know, there are things that the Lord brings us into where it's a personal challenge. This is a personal thing. We've had the little faith through everybody. We've had the little faith through the group of disciples. And now we have a little faith. Here's a man who does something that nobody else, to my knowledge, has ever done in the history of the world, apart from Jesus Christ. And that is walk on water twice. So you know the story, and Peter sees the Lord. They all see the Lord, and they shriek from fear, thinking it's a ghost. And the Lord says immediately, don't worry, it's me. Have courage. I'm behind this. I'm with you. My eye is upon you. My eye has never been away from you from the moment you started rowing the boat. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, this word command is a very interesting one because it's the word used in Greek of the command of a king. He was asking the king to command that he, an ordinary bloke like you and me, could actually walk on water. That's a measure of faith. That was quite astonishing, really, especially when we read the rest of the story of Peter pre-Pentecost. But anyway, this was a brilliant moment in his life. And Jesus gave the word, come. And he didn't say, please. Jesus said, come, in the imperative. And when God gives the command, things happen. Hallelujah. Jesus said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. That's amazing. God said, let there be light, and time and space came into being instantly. And a lot of stuff followed after that. And since that moment when God said, let there be light, he sustained his creation right to this present day. And we know what's going to happen in the end because God's told us the end of the story. Not in detail, but kind of the basic outline of what's going to happen. So anyway, Peter goes and this faith challenge comes. And then suddenly, of course, we know what he does. He takes his eyes off Jesus and he looks on the circumstances surrounding him. Powerful wind, waves splashing him in the face, stuff going on all around him. Where is Jesus? And Jesus was always there, waiting for him to come. And Jesus immediately, as soon as he sees Peter sinking, he stretches out his hand and catches him and says, "Oh, you little faith, okay, you mini faith, you." But I don't think it was a rebuke. I think the Lord is really pleased that Peter had got so far towards him at that moment. Okay, he hadn't made it all the way, but he'd got quite a way. And he said, "Oh, you mini faith, why did you doubt?" Because doubt leads to dunking. And faith leads to a fullness of life in Jesus that Jesus wants to give to us. And so Peter had this amazing experience. And some people say it was the flesh, but all the flesh was still in the boat. Peter got out on a spiritual challenge. And God brings things into our lives where we personally can have a personal challenge. And the reason is that God wants to approve of our lives as he approved of Jesus. And the word that's used as of being approved unto God in Timothy, for instance, means proved after testing, metal that's found true and can be made into true coin, not false or base, but the real thing. And in Romans, we find Paul saying, "Give my greetings to Apelles, that man who is approved in Christ. He's gone through his testing and God has found him true, through and through." And so, Peter, well done, Peter. Mm. And then one more in Matthew, chapter 16. And this one is a word for our times. We've had the personal challenge. Now, this is back to the disciples again. And this is about doctrine. How does faith and doctrine go together? Absolutely knit together to the end of time. Because Jesus had had a run-in with the Pharisees and the Sadducees who had tried to get him to do some magic sign in the skies to show that he was who he said he was, because they didn't believe the miracles that they saw with their own eyes and they were jealous of him. And there are the disciples. Jesus leaves them. He doesn't bow to their demands. Jesus doesn't bow to any person's demands. He does what he wants. And he gets into a boat and the disciples are with him. And on the way over the lake, he says to them in verse 6, Matthew 16, 6, "Take heed and beware of the leaven, the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Or we might say the bread. And the disciples are thinking, well, we've gone to say, bring bread with us. They're thinking on a purely carnal level. And Jesus says to them, "Why are you reasoning among yourselves?" This is rationalization, the word where we get our rationalization from. Why are you trying to rationalize things? Trust me, believe in me, hold on to me, and you'll find the living God more real than anything else in life. And then he reminds them of these two massive miracles that he'd done of feeding 5,000 men and then 4,000 men, not to mention women and children. And he says to them, "You little faith, you mini faith, what is he saying to you and me?" Well, the same thing as I believe he was saying to them. I'm willing to be stand to be corrected, but I believe he was saying, you've got to eat the right bread. You've got to eat the best bread, which is the word of God. The word of God is full of God's promises, and God wants you and me to feed on his promises. And as we feed on his promises, all that God has made available to us in Christ becomes our possession by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because all the promises of God are yes and yes and yes in Jesus. Hallelujah. That's 2 Corinthians 1:20 paraphrased. Yes. All the promises of God, What do you want from God today? What is your desire? Are you hungering and thirsting for more of God in your life? Do you want some particular blessing from God in your life? Do you want to know that fullness of his spirit in your life? Go to God, ask, eat the bread of his promise. Whoever comes to me, I will nowise cast out. Do you want salvation? Whoever comes to me, I will never, ever reject, says Jesus. I welcome you with open arms. Come to me today. Run to me today. I welcome you with open arms. Blessed be his wondrous name. You know, there was a man in the Old Testament, almost finished, and he had a really sad beginning to life. You know, some people think, okay, that's all right for people who are good, but my life has just got nothing to show. I had a bad beginning and things have just gone from bad to worse. And I'm struggling against things that I know come from way back. Well, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus. Whatever it is, Jesus can set you free. A wonderful man of God called Watchman Nee, he had something that was like a depression over his life. It lasted for quite a long time. One day, walking down a beach, he had a sudden flash of insight from God that the promise of God to him was that he should not suffer from depression. And he stuck his walking stick in the sand. He said, I will not have this from now on. And he walked on from there and it never came again for the rest of his life because he believed the promise of God to him at that moment. And as we receive the promises of God by faith, they become real in our lives. And God gives us the freedom we so deeply want and desire. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 10, you wouldn't expect to find this pearl in such a place. There's this list of names, lots of people who do things in chapter 4 and verse 4. There was even Hazel who wanted a pony. No, Hazel pony, it says. So something about a pony and Hazel there. I'm not quite sure what that's all about. But in verse 9 and verse 10, Jabez. His mother called him Jabez because she said, he will cause pain. And Jabez cried to the God of Israel and said, oh Lord, I don't want to cause any pain. And God heard him and he never caused any pain. And his faith grew in God and his life grew in God. There was a man called Chisholm, Thomas Chisholm. He was born in Kentucky in a log cabin. He had no education to speak of and a very poor family. But he grew up and he lived to be 96, died in 1960. And he wrote a hymn called Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, which we love to sing. And we're going to sing it in just a moment. You know, Jesus said, have faith in God. That's Mark 11:22. And can equally be translated, hold to God's faithfulness. God is faithful. We heard it right at the beginning. I will sing aloud of your faithfulness. I will sing of the faithfulness and the mercies of the Lord forever. And now we're going to sing of God's great faithfulness because God is faithful to his people to carry us through everything, through every daily occurrence for our daily bread, for our daily needs, through the storms of life, through the personal challenges until the day when Jesus comes from the skies in glory and honor. Hallelujah.